Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
So we come before you. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come to worship and to praise you. Lord, we thank you for each person that's here. And Lord, we thank you for their hearts and those who are still traveling in. Lord, we ask for safe travels. Father, we ask that you be with Pastor Kerwin as they are traveling back from dropping their daughter off. Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Please stand for worship if you're able.
Oh, all that you've done for me.
You know, this is that time where we set aside every Sunday to pray for those that don't know Jesus. You know, as we've been going through this Life of Christ series, there's numerous things that always keep standing out to me. And one of them was is how Jesus always opened his arms and that said people to come to him. He didn't ask him to change first. He didn't ask him to get their life in order. He didn't ask him to do any of that. What did he say? Come and follow me. You know, he asked them to come, and then he is the one who transforms their lives. And that's why we have My Three, is that we know that Jesus wants each and every person to come to know him as their personal Lord and Savior, to walk in relationship with him. And we all have people in our lives that are walking around that don't know him, that are facing this world in all their heaviness that it presents on their own. And I don't know about you guys, I can't imagine facing this world without Jesus in my life. I can't imagine the struggles that I face on a day-to-day basis without having Jesus there to walk alongside to encourage me. So at this time, what I want us to do is to think of those three people in your life that don't know Jesus. But I hope that you're not just doing that on Sunday mornings. I hope that you're taking that little card that we have available out there and you're writing their names on it and you are praying for them each and every day because he answers our prayers. He hears our prayers. So I want to encourage you guys, if you're not doing that already, take it. Put it in your wallet. Put it on your mirror in your bathroom. Stick it in your car. Wherever you need to be reminded daily to pray for these people so that we lift them up each and every day. And we know that God hears our prayers. He has transformed lives. There's people that have come to Jesus through the last year that we've done this. And let's never forget that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time and think of those three people and lift them up by name. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We come before you and we lift up the people in our lives that don't know you, that are walking through this world, facing it alone. Father, may we just present you to them. May you soften even the hardest of hearts. Father, may we show your love and mercy. Father, we ask that you call them to you. Father, we know you know the right time. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to worship.
As I search the world, but it couldn't fill me. Together, every
In his blood, and what he means.
Amen. Well, good morning, church. We will never fail. I'm so thankful to be here this morning with each of you. I want to welcome all of our guests that are here with us this morning. I also want to welcome those that are joining us online in the radio. We are thankful for each and every one of you. But before we dive into the message this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, and Lord, we just lift up this morning to you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your promises. Lord, we thank you that you never fail us. Father, though we may fail you at times, we know that you never fail us. Lord, I pray that this morning it's your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, I ask that if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. But otherwise, Lord, we ask that the words may penetrate even the hardest of hearts, that we may dig in and discover who you are and walk in relationship with you. We pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, I loved last week finishing up Mark chapter 7. In the passage, we were reminded, no matter where we're at in our life, God will come and meet us there if we look for him. That it's not about us getting our lives together on our own. That it's not about us being perfect. Instead, it's about going to Jesus with our lives. And that he will meet us right where we're at. You know, sometimes the world seems to give us a mixed message about what we need to do to get right with Jesus. What we need to do to have a relationship with him. And the world likes to tell us that we're not good enough and that we're not worthy enough of the love that Jesus has for us. That we have to make up all these changes in our lives before we ever have an opportunity to walk with him. But that's not true. The truth is that Jesus will meet us wherever we're at in life. Now, don't get me wrong. When we turn our lives over to him, things will start to change. When we invite him into our lives, he will give us a new heart. He will give us a new mind. And things will start to change in ways that we often don't expect. When we come to Jesus, our desires start to change. The way we start looking at the world starts to change. It's being part of being made new. And he doesn't expect us to do it on our own. He just expects us to look to him. But yet the world often seems to place these cultural boundaries that keep people from turning to him, putting these roadblocks in place for us. We feel at times like because we don't talk like some people in church or dress like some people in church or act like some people in church that maybe God isn't for us. Yet that's not what the Bible teaches us. That's not what we saw in the passage last week. You know, last week there was a lady who had a demon-possessed daughter who had all the cultural boundaries in the world going against her. And these boundaries would have typically kept her from going to Jesus. She was a Gentile and a woman, two things that normally would have kept a Jewish rabbi, a good teacher such as Jesus, from even considering interacting with her. Yet in her desperation, there was nothing else outside of Jesus that could help her inside of that moment. And she knew that, and she knew the only option she had to help her daughter was to turn straight to Jesus and go to him. And when she went to Jesus, everything changed. He healed her daughter. He restored both their lives. She didn't allow the cultural standards of the day from keeping her from discovering Christ. And when Jesus saw her faith, he credited that to her. In the same way, last week, we saw a group of friends bringing their friend to Jesus who couldn't speak and couldn't hear anymore. So what did Jesus do? He got down at the same level as this man. He touched his ears and his tongue. Jesus communicated with him in a way that the man would understand, and he healed him and he restored his life. He gave him a new hope, a new future, something that I'm sure that man had given up on. And now here's the kicker. Jesus did all of that while being in a Gentile area. He did all of that being outside of what would have been considered the church of his day. He did it to the lost. He did it for the hurting. You know, I found myself this week reflecting on that, thinking through how Jesus did that. You know, he didn't expect these people to come to him in a synagogue or a church building. He didn't have this expectation for them to come in a certain direction. No, what did he do? He went to where they were. He went right into the heart of it. He was willing to go out and giving us an example of what we're called to do. You know, we can't expect the lost in our community to just come into the building. Instead, we need to learn to be the church outside of the building. We need to learn to be the hands and feet outside of the building. Yes, we gather together Sunday mornings, but the purpose of Sunday mornings is to encourage us, to equip us, prepare us to go out and be those hands and feet to the world around us that needs Jesus. We get to encourage each other here. We get to walk this out together. And in the passage this morning, we see Jesus continuing to minister to people inside of that Gentile area, an area that didn't look like him, talk like him, or even act like him. And have you guys, I'm going to tell you guys, this morning the text, as I was looking at it, and as I was prepping and everything this week, I'm preaching to myself this morning. Let me just put it that way, okay? This is stuff I need to hear myself. And that can sometimes make this even more challenging to get up here Sunday morning. It's actually quite often I'm preaching to myself. But this one this morning, it hit hard. It hit me. So this morning, before we get going, we're going to be in Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. And I want to read it through its entirety before we start breaking it down. So let's start with verse 1. And it says, "In those days, there was again a large crowd, and they had nothing to eat. He called the disciples to them and said to them, 'I have compassion on the crowd because they're already strayed with me. They've already stayed with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, and some of them have come a long distance.' His disciples answered him, 'Where can anyone get enough bread here in this desolate place to feed these people?' 'How many loaves do you have?' he asked them. 7, they said. He commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground. Taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples and set before the people, so they served them to the crowd. They also had a few small fish, and after he had blessed them, he said, 'These were to be served as well.' They ate and were satisfied, and they collected 7 large baskets of leftover pieces. About 4,000 were there, and he dismissed them. And he immediately got into the boat and went with the disciples and went to the district of Dalmathua." You know, when I originally read through this entire script, you know, we're reading through the text here, it's almost like we've heard this story before, isn't it? It's like having a deja vu moment. That's because just a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Jesus feeding the 5,000. And this morning, if you look in your Bibles underneath the heading of it, it says Jesus feeding the 4,000. It sounds very similar. With just a couple pieces of bread and fish, Jesus fed a large crowd. And this is the second time that he's done this now. So let's dive in and take a look at verse 1. Verse 1 actually tells us, "In those days there was again a large crowd, and they had nothing to eat. He called the disciples and said to them," you know, here in the first verse, it talks about the large crowd gathering around Jesus again. This seems to be a common theme that we see throughout the scriptures of Jesus. These large crowds of people are constantly coming and listening to hear and to see what Jesus is doing and saying. Unlike the last time when such a large crowd, they were not next to the Lake of Galilee, but in the region of Decapolis. This particular region was a very heavily populated Gentile region. There were some Jews there, but it was a very heavy Gentile region. And while Jesus was spending his time there over the last couple of weeks, people would have seen everything that Jesus was doing. They would have witnessed the work that he was up to, and they wanted to come and see what he was doing. I mean, if you heard about a man that was healing people and had all this stuff to say, you too would want to come and see what is going on. You know, the last time that Jesus fed this large crowd, one of the things that was unique about that particular crowd is it was primarily a Jewish crowd. And now this crowd was made up of both Jews and Gentiles. In fact, it would have been more Gentiles because of the area. And it's a great reminder that the kingdom of God is made up of all types of people. They're not just people that look like us and talk like us and dress like us. But the kingdom of God is made up of all kinds of people from around the world. That we can go anywhere in the world and find our brothers and sisters and worship with them. And I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity to do that when you're on vacation or traveling and stopping in at another church and being able to worship there with your brothers and sisters. And it's an awesome experience. There's a unity that is still there that is hard to experience in many other ways. We're reminded that this wasn't just for one or two people groups in the world, but instead, Jesus was intended for everyone to come and see who he is. It's intended for everyone to come into relationship with him. It tells us once again that the crowd had gotten to the point, though, that they had nothing to eat. So he called his disciples together, and in verse 2 and 3 tells us, "I have compassion on the crowd because they've already stayed with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, and some of them have come a long distance." You know, by this particular point, Jesus had been teaching them and had filled the crowds with their spiritual hunger. A lot of times when people come and they're trying to figure out who Jesus is, there's a spiritual hunger and desire within them that they're trying to fill. There's a desire to know who Jesus is and come into relationship. Whether or not they choose to follow him is one point. But a lot of people still come to Jesus trying to figure this out. And Jesus met their spiritual needs inside of that moment. He had heard him speak, and he had healed the sick, and he had done all of these wonderful things in their presence, and he'd been teaching them for 3 days. And the way it sounds, they had some food with them in the beginning, but after so long, they had nothing left to eat. And Jesus was concerned that if he sent them on their way, they would collapse on their way home. They were out in a desolate area. An area that wouldn't have been easy to get food. An area that if they didn't have some nutrients to get them home, if they would have collapsed, they would have been robbed. There would have been many difficult situations. Now, I would like to think that when this opportunity was presented and this whole thing about not having enough food was presented, that the disciples would have sat back and been like, "All right, who's got a couple of loaves and a couple pieces of fish? We've seen Jesus do this before. Let's see him do it again." You know, like, it seems like an obvious answer to us. We've already heard that Jesus fed with just a couple pieces of fish and a couple loaves. Like, all right, let's see him do it again. But that's not how the disciples decided to answer Jesus inside of that moment. In fact, it tells us in verse 4 that the disciples answered him this way. The disciples answered him, "Where can anyone get enough bread here in this desolate place to feed these people?" You know, it's in this moment that we kind of want to criticize the disciples. Like, you've seen Jesus literally feed 5,000 people in front of your eyes with just a couple loaves and a couple pieces of fish. How could you be wondering where the market is to get enough? Like, what in their minds, where are they at? How can you wonder how Jesus is going to take care of all of this when you've literally seen him do it before? On top of that, they would have grown up in a Jewish community. They would have grown up going to a synagogue. They would have heard the stories of all the ways that God had provided for their ancestors. I mean, in the wilderness, God provided manna each and every day for 40 years for the Israelites. He made sure they had all that they needed at all times. They would have been raised hearing those stories just like many of us have been. They would have heard the story of the widow who only had a little flour and oil. And when she obeyed God's instructions and she made the bread for Elijah first, her supplies never ran out. And over, they would have heard these stories. They would have known this stuff from the very beginning of how God always provides. And they would have witnessed Jesus doing it. Yet inside of this moment, they were questioning Jesus, trying to figure out how he could feed all of these people after 3 days of being out there. In our mind, it sounds simple, right? Trust Jesus. You've seen him do it before. That we almost become critical of the disciples at that moment. But I want to ask you a question this morning. How often do you doubt God? How often do you doubt God? How often do you doubt that he will provide, even though you know he's provided for you in the past? You know, I think we all have stories of ways that God has uniquely helped us, the ways that God has walked alongside of us in some of our most difficult situations, and he's provided in the hardships over and over again. But yet when we face the new trial, the new tribulation, the new difficulty, what do? Oh, this is never going to work. We go to the woe is me attitude, and we forget that God has always taken care of us. What has changed now? And we doubt God over and over again. And even when I look at myself, I have to remind myself on how many times God has provided for me in the past. I have to remind myself of his goodness and his willingness to take care of me, even in my weakest of moments. You know, I look back to the time when I answered the call into ministry and I was preparing to go off to school. I was 22 years old and I needed to take the SATs. I had to send off a college applications and I had to figure out finances. I had to take SATs, all of that, within like 4 months. And did I mention I needed to find a job? I had to trust that God would take care of all of this. I took my SATs, did completely fine. Got into college, everything was lined up that I needed, except for the job. That was the one thing that wasn't lining up. Here I was trying to, and I tried to transfer with the company I worked for, and nothing was working, there was no openings, there was nothing. And I had bills to pay at this point. I wasn't living at home and stuff like that. I had my own bills that had to be paid. And so I put in my notice at work and prepared to move over 1,000 miles away from everything I had ever known, any friends that I ever had, everything with bills to pay, no job, and going to school. And the week before I moved, I got a phone call from the district manager down in that area for the company I've been working for saying, hey, I got a call from your district manager saying, we don't want to lose you as an employee in the company. I have a job for you. I was ready to just go on faith because I knew that's where God had called me. And it wasn't an easy choice to make. But if God is the one calling us to it, we can be rest assured that he will provide a way. And that's one of those stories that I have to constantly remind myself of. And the same thing when I moved back up, he provided a school for me to continue. He took care of my jobs. He took care of all of that. If we're walking with God, we don't have to be concerned on whether he will provide or not if we're doing and walking in his will. And I'm sure many of us have stories like that that we can look back to and remember the goodness of God. Yet inside of those, when the difficult times comes, what do we like to do? We question God again and again. And yet we know he's always been there. When I moved out here, I had to remember how God had taken care of me when I moved to Florida. And if that's where God wanted me to be, and if this is where God wants me out here, he's going to open all the doors. He's going to provide the housing for me. He's going to provide everything. And he did. Everything came together. You know, when I was searching for a house when I first moved out here, every house I tried to go see, it had an offer on it and accepted before I ever got a chance to see it. And finally, this house I've been sitting on for 9 months. God opened the door, brought the price down so I could afford it. But it ended up being exactly what I needed for a time such as this. God took care of it all. You know, and that's some of the bigger ways that God has provided for me in life. And I'm sure you guys have those stories too, like the bigger things. But let's not forget the little ways in which God has provided for us. Let's not forget about the little stuff that happens day in and day out. Because those just come pile up and it's like, wow. If we actually sit down and make a list of how God takes care of us, it becomes an amazing experience to see his goodness over and over in our lives. I know week in and week out, I sometimes struggle putting the sermon together. Let me tell you guys, I'm not good enough on my own to put these together every week. And I have to count on Jesus to make this happen. Otherwise, we might just be having a worship Sunday every Sunday. And God has never let me down in any of those. I've let God down, but he's never let me down. You know, God provides sometimes in some of those strangest ways. Sometimes it's in our conversations. He provides when we have a heavy heart. He provides in our relationships. When we allow God to come into our lives and to take care of it, and we stop worrying and we cast our burdens and worries onto him, he takes care of it. I know for many of us right now, with the economy the way it is, inside of our community, inside of our nation, and the cost of everything's going up, right? Groceries are up, the cost of cars, housing, rent, everything is going up. School supplies this year, they weren't cheap. And we can find ourselves wondering, how are we going to get through this? We can find ourselves wondering right now, how are we going to be able to pay for it? But I want to encourage you guys in this moment when we're struggling in so many different ways, and I know a lot of us are, that God has taken care of it before, and he will do it again if we trust him in those. If we go to him and simply trust him, God can make anything work, and he can multiply whatever little things we have. He can multiply it and make it work in ways we don't expect him to, you know? In fact, that's what Jesus did in verses 5 through 8. He said, "How many loaves do you have?" And he asked them, and 7, they said. He commanded the crowds to sit down on the ground. Taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. So they served them to the crowd. They also had a few small fish, and after he had blessed them, he said, "These were to be served as well." They ate and were satisfied, and they collected the 7 large baskets of leftover pieces. He didn't tell them they needed to go out and get more, did they? That's not what Jesus said. He didn't say, go out and buy a bunch of more fish and loaves of bread. No, he simply took what they had, and he provided. He provided for all of their needs inside of that moment. And if God can do it then, he can do it now. You know, it shouldn't surprise us when God comes through and he provides for us. Now, let me be clear. When I say God provides for us, it may not always be your wants, okay? But your needs will be provided for if we trust him, if we allow him, if we turn to him and we put it on him. He will provide for the needs, not saying once. And sometimes he does it through other people. Sometimes you have the ability to be a blessing and answer someone else's prayer and you didn't even realize it. Sometimes you have the ability to walk alongside somebody and you have no idea what that kind word just meant to them and where they were at inside of that moment. That's why we're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us in Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In Matthew 6, it says, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, wouldn't he do much more for you? You know, we are made in the image of God, each and every one of us. We are made in his image. We're made in the image of the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator of the universe. He thought that highly of each one of us, that he created us inside of his image. And he did it because he wants a relationship with us. He made us different than the rest of creation. He created us in his image. He knew us before we were in our mother's womb. He cares for each and every one of us. I want us to think about that for a minute. He loves us and cares for us that much that he was willing to send his son to die on the cross for you and I. That's the love that God has for us. And just like God, Jesus cared for each one of those people that were sitting there in the crowd, worried that they would faint on their way home, Jesus cares for us. And he doesn't want us to stumble and fall. He doesn't want us to walk home empty. And he doesn't just want to take care of our spiritual needs, but he wants to take care of all of us. But he wants us to look to him, remembering that he is the provider and the sustainer. And in him, we will find rest, we will find peace, and we will find comfort, joy, grace, mercy. It tells us in verse 9 and 10, and about 4,000 was there, and he dismissed them. And then 10 says, and he immediately got into the boat with his disciples, so went to the district of Dalmatia. After Jesus had taken care of them and fed them spiritually, he fed their physical needs, and he sent them on their way. He provided for them before he sent them out. You know, God will never ask us to do something without preparing us, right? He will never ask us to go without preparing us first. He will equip you. He will give you everything that you need in every way. And sometimes when we go to Jesus and we're trying to rely on him, what do we got to do? We got to rely on him day to day, right? Sometimes it's day to day. Sometimes it's hour by hour. And every now and then we get to that point, we got to do it what? Minute by minute. That we have to trust that Jesus is going to take care of it. But we need to trust that he is going to be there. And I want to encourage you guys this week as we finish up this morning. Whenever you find yourself doubting whether or not God's going to show up, whether or not that he's going to provide in this moment of need, I want you to look back at this story. And I want you to look back on your own life and remember every single time that God has showed up. And I bet there is story after story you can tell, even the ones that were stories before you knew Jesus. Because I can look back on my life and before I knew Jesus, before I walked into relationship, and I can go, how did I survive that? There is no doubt in my mind that God was providing inside of those moments and guiding me towards him. Because there are situations that could have been so much worse. And God protected me. He watched over me. Because he is our provider, he is our sustainer, he is the one that walks alongside of us. And we can trust him for the good stuff in life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, may we remember the goodness of God. Lord, may we remember your goodness and the way that you provide for us and the way that you sustain us. Lord, may we remember the grace and mercy that you have shown us over and over again. Father, when we fall into those moments of doubt, may we just look to you and remember who you are. Father, may we not allow this world to pull us aside and pull us down. Instead, may we constantly look up to you, remembering that you're right there. In all that we do. We pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Cornerstone.
as you guys go out this week, just think back on all the ways that God has provided for you. Be excited for the way God will provide for you in the future. Because when we start looking at the world in that way, it brings a ton of excitement and joy. God bless, guys. Have a wonderful week.
To be there until the end of time. You pick me up and say, don't fear. You make me brave when you are near. Whenever I rise, whenever
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.